following program is sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro Eastside and Eric Osnes of Homebridge Financial Services. Welcome to Open House with Team Reba. Each week, Team Reba will be bringing you a roundup of real estate and mortgage news, along with information about the local Puget Sound region, highlighting some of the best and brightest entertainment options, family events, neighborhood highlights, and local business interviews, so you can feel right at home in the Pacific Northwest.
Happy New Year, and welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro Eastside.
And Eric Osnes here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage. Happy New Year indeed.
Yes, it is.
I am so glad 2022 is behind us. I mean, there were some cool things that happened, but that last week between the weather and, in my case, the financial markets,
we had
ice storms.
I think the whole second half. We can pretty much take anything that started with Russia and Ukraine and fast forward through the whole rest of the year and be like,
pretty much.
And then what's funny is we're all complaining about that. What was it the first 2 years before that?
Right. Yeah.
And we were all like, bye bye, 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, kiss my grits, 2021. And now we're all like, 2022, you can just bite me. Yeah. Like, right. How are we all getting so cynical? Like, we're so cynical.
I don't know.
There's reasons, but I mean, it's just like,
of course.
Like, yeah. I'm trying, everyone I know is like, I'm just coming into this year with a positive attitude.
Right.
And there's this whole kumbaya kind of personality developing.
I just want everybody to stay healthy and let's just have like a nice, mellow year and, you know, hopefully we don't have shenanigans going on in other parts of the world.
Yeah, no more shenanigans. All you people out there with your shenanigans, you just put them away, please.
That's right.
No more shenanigans. Just
cool your jets. Literally.
I always love that word, shenanigans.
It's kind of Midwest, doesn't it?
Oh, it's totally.
Yeah.
It's a completely Midwest term.
Must have got that from one of
probably
my relatives.
Probably said a lot in, I'm going to say, Wisconsin.
Mm, mm-hmm.
It's probably a very common term in Wisconsin.
Probably.
Hey, you all with your shenanigans. You just need to put those away there, you know.
Go have a drink from the bubbler.
And have some cheese curds while you're at it. A bunch of cheese heads.
Go pack.
We're both in a pretty good mood.
Yeah.
Considering.
Well, yeah.
Considering what you said the last week of the year was like for you.
No,
I mean, coming
kidding.
Into the new year, it's like, it's not been bad. I've actually been fairly pleased with, you know, it's, so here's why. Last year, all of 2022, as many people know, if you've been listening to the show, I've been changing up my team and kind of how we construct things. And so I've got a global team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only do I have folks here locally that I work with, which, by the way, we're hiring. I need more people on the team. We've got all of our structures in place. So we used, even before we knew what 2022 was going to look like, last January, it was about the third week of January, I started hiring outside of just the local area, right? Because that's much more of a commonality in today's, you know, post-COVID, you know, everybody stuck at home stuff. So I have this, you know, broad-based team, and we've been spending the entire year doing building blocks. And I can't tell you how excited I am because all of December, like we actually took the full week off between the last working day of like December 23rd was our last working day. We did a half day, took the whole week off.
Yeah, good for you.
And then came back on the 2nd, actually, you know, because for some of them it's actually the 3rd. So I went ahead and worked yesterday. So, you know, big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. I already had a week off and worked, you know, a portion of it, but just doing things I wanted to focus on, right?
Sure.
And this team I've been developing, what's so great is that we've been creating all of these building blocks. And I actually just had this conversation with my neighbor Lisa the other day because she was asking me, she goes, you know, do you know that term, you know, go slow to go fast? And I'm like, yeah.
Oh,
I use it all the time.
Yeah.
And she was telling me that there's a bunch of people that they've been using it from the viewpoint of, oh, well, you know, like this is my time to slow down. You know, I'm going to go slow to go fast.
No. That's not what that means at all.
And she's like, I wondered because I couldn't resonate with what they were telling me. It's like, no, it's not go sit on your butt so that then you're refreshed. That's rejuvenation. Mm. That is not the same concept as go slow to go fast. And so my team and I have been talking about this. We've been putting in all these excellent foundational building blocks that's the slow part because you're building all your SOPs, standard operating procedures. Right. We're building new content. We're building new training modules. We're doing all these different things so that when we bring on new agents, boom, we can get them into that first 90 days where they're stress tested to see if they can make it.
Right. Absolutely. Right?
And that stress testing is mostly around like educational content, getting them in action, doing all these different things. And so we have to have our stuff in line.
Right. You've got all the tools set up. And on the lending side, we use that term quite a bit with pre-approval customers.
And I do that with clients.
Yeah. We get them fully approved, fully underwritten. That's exactly the go slow part.
Yes.
So that when they find the right home, we can go
fast. We can run. And while you're doing that part, because we do that in parallel, right?
Right.
Because I tell, when someone works with us, whether you're buying or selling, that first meeting with me, like I was talking to this with my team actually just the other day. One of the things that's frustrating for me watching in this industry is there's all these people who want to make real estate seem like it's effortless and it's easy and it's so quick and you can just jump online and just do these things and write your own offer and whatnot, which is a big bloody mess. Uh-huh. And I tell when someone's working with me, we're going to go slow to go fast because that first meeting, while I will set aside an hour, my whole team knows that I actually block out up to as much as 3 hours because what happens is when we sit in the conversation with somebody and we're actually really getting to know you, there's a lot of questions I've got to walk through. Not only what kind of home do you think you want, but how do you want to live your life? And that really turns into a very big discussion, which very few people really get conversations like that in the rest of their lives, right? In fact, even people in relationships don't have that deep of a conversation sometimes. I frequently work with couples that, as you know, have broken up when they go to buy a house with me.
Not because of you.
Not because of me, but because I ask these very specific questions about, okay, how long are you going to live in this house for? Is there an anticipation? You know, maybe depending on their age, I'll ask, are you thinking you might get married? And then you'll see this couple look at each other like, are we? and it prompts all these other, and then I'm like, well, okay, you want a 2-bedroom, 1-bath right now, but do you think you might have, you know, someone else come to live with you, whether that's a child or a parent or a family member? And they're like, will we? And then that opens up bigger. And so you start wondering, like, what do you talk about when you're not having this sit down with me?
Because they're watching cable, you know, HGTV or something else, or they're driving around and they see a for sale or an open house.
It's a dream.
It's like, it's a dream. It's like, wow, that'd be really cool.
Yeah. Like, oh, we live here and this would be a great area to stay in. I get that.
And then I get the other side of it. I get the questions like from one or the other. It's
your
like
credit scores.
Well, number one, it's like, you know, I haven't really told my fiance about my credit or it's like,
or my massive credit card bills.
On the other side of it, it's like, well, now I'm the one with all of the down payment. What can I do to protect myself in case this doesn't work out?
Yeah. We'll have those discussions too.
Right. Yeah. How are you going to hold ownership?
Yeah.
Once you get past that, the dream stage, you're getting into the planning stage. All these issues come up.
Yeah. So I will say though, Eric, that out of 20 years and over 400 some clients, or sales, I should say, because there's lots more clients because there's family members and spouses and things like that. But I think it's probably only happened a handful of times. So, you know, what's great is when we have conversations and you see a couple in alignment. right? Yes. Because they see kind of the same things. They want the same things. It gets very interesting. And as you know, in fact, we're going to talk about this on today's show. You know, we have a class coming up March 4th, right? Mm-hmm. So in our classes, we always do this like must have, nice to have exercise of like, what kinds of things would you be looking for in a house, mm-hmm. right? So it is a really good opportunity to, maybe it's not bursting the bubble, so to speak, just yet, but it does help that go slow to go fast. Getting that couple to get on the same page is so critical. So critical for everything else to flow well when you get into the process, mm-hmm. right? Because you can make much better, faster decisions on houses once you have all of that figured out. Some people like to go to open houses and they'll start picking things apart, but because if they've never done it before, they still don't really know exactly what it is that they're narrowing in on. Mm-hmm. So working right. with someone who's got that viewpoint, who can walk them through it and then ask a few more follow-up questions is just massively important. So yeah, to my friend Lisa's point, to go slow, to go fast means preparedness.
Right. And, part of that process for this year will be what to expect happening in the housing market mm-hmm. and with interest rates. In fact, yes. I know we've got to take a break shortly here, mm-hmm. but when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about our forecasts
yes,
for
like
2023.
Our yes.
And we can also grade ourselves on our prior year's forecast oh, yeah. because we do this every year.
Yes, we do.
And sometimes we hit it out of the park and sometimes, it's not so
good. We're going into our eighth year of this, dude.
Yes, I know.
Eighth year. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, it just goes crazy super times. Fast, like everything else in this world, like zipping right on mm-hmm. by. But
if you want to hear what our past prognostications are, you can always go find our podcast online, Open House with Team Reba, mm-hmm. wherever you love to hear podcasts.
Right, and it'll be pretty much the first episode of every year.
Yep,
so if you
absolutely.
Just pull up those January podcasts, mm-hmm. you're going to hear us talking about what we think will be happening in the market
yep.
and how close are we?
It'll
how
be in the
accurate
descriptions.
Were we? You know, mm-hmm. this last year was a pretty interesting one to try mm-hmm. to prognosticate, and I think we hit some of it right, we hit some of it wrong. Mm-hmm. Overall, I think we did all right.
Yeah.
You know, all things considered, with the exception of interest rates, which
I'll
talk about right after the break here.
Yeah, as we know, not everything could be predicted. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's you, Putin.
Jerome.
Yeah.
A few others.
Yeah, I know.
Probably could mention after
yeah.
a couple
oh, yeah, there's
of
a bunch.
Adult drinks.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got to take a real quick break.
As long as we're not doing shots.
That's right. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Open House Team Reba.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1300. The answer. Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
And I'm Reba Hess from Team Reba.
And we're here every Saturday at 2 o'clock.
And Sundays at 3.
And always on podcasts.
Yes, always, always, always. And we have, I think, around 290-ish episodes now mm-hmm. after these nearly 7.5 years
That's
of doing
right.
this.
Of being blessed to grace the airwaves here. All right. I want to read you
such conviction.
I want to read you a headline.
Okay.
And tell me what you think of this. This is okay. out of the Puget Sound Business Journal. Mm-hmm. The headline reads, "Here's how long Seattle home buyers need to save up for a down payment."
That's the headline?
That's the headline.
It doesn't say how long yet.
No, okay. But the first paragraph, it takes more mm-hmm. than 7.5 years to save up for a 20% down payment for a home in Seattle, a new study finds. That's up
Wrong
by two
answer.
Months. Well, and it's because Seattle's median home value rose by over $80,000 between 2019 mm-hmm. and 2021. Mm-hmm. Reba, do you need 20% down to buy a home in Seattle?
You do not.
You don't.
You do not. And depending on whether or not you're a conventional or a veteran can use a VA loan with zero down, of which we just had someone at the end of 2022 do that exact thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Plus, we have zero down loan programs and, yes. and even standard Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA mm-hmm. loan programs will allow a down payment as low as 3% down yes. for a first-time home buyer up to loan amounts of $977,500. Mm-hmm. So actually 5% down up to that, 3% down up to $726,200. So come on.
So yeah. can I see that article real quick?
Sure.
Here, okay.
Let me just – it's rolled up into a ball, but let me just unfurl that on your end.
Well, because, yeah, it's pretty much garbage. So you and I have brought this up before because we sat in on an economics conversation where the head economist for Zillow – said yeah. that, like, I don't know, 5 years ago or something like that at this thing. And she was like, and we're coming for your houses, boomers, you know. And you and I just stared at each other because she went on and on about this 20% down thing. And we're like, do you not pay attention to your own website and industry?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that. Come on, lady. Like,
well,
it, to
part
me,
of this go slow to go fast is doing your research, knowing what you can qualify for, and also knowing what your options are,
yeah,
which is so important.
So here's – why do you think these articles exist?
To generate clicks. People click on it, and that's it. It's banal cocktail lounge type.
Yeah. They're even saying a 12% down payment for a home in Seattle would require 4.59 years of work, assuming a median household saves 20% of its income.
Right.
And I'm just like
– I don't even know where what? That down payment amount comes from. It doesn't mean anything.
No. And the thing that you and I talk about all the time, especially as, you know, there's so much recession talk and everything else, the value of a property is your ability to leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do better in owning property than you can in the stock market most of the time.
And if your mortgage payment is comparable to what you would be paying for rent.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
What are we missing here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goofy part. But, you know, I bring up this article because mm-hmm. This is a perfect lead into our upcoming first-time homebuyer class that we'll
okay,
be
holding. Okay, but can I just tell you, yeah. I really want to send this guy, Nitish Baznet, the data reporter for Puget Sound Business Journal, a message. I mean, he just wrote this January 2nd, 2023.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to send this dude an email and be like, can I have a rebuttal? Can we please get more accurate information into your journal? Mm-hmm. Like, I like PSBJ, but like, come on.
Well, but they'll have some, and I don't know anything
I guess
about
they
this
need
particular
ads.
Author, but you get some of these youngsters there and they're mm-hmm. writing. Maybe they don't own a home. Maybe they've never gone through the process. Maybe they don't understand what the options are.
That's what I can ask him.
But they get tasked to write an article about it.
Yes.
It's like, all right.
I am now looking him up.
So somebody, you know, the editor gives them the stat. Hey, look at this stat. It takes 7.5 years to save up 20%.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, my God. You know, it's going to take that long to buy a house in Seattle. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It
just
is not.
Get your ducks in a row.
Okay. I'm finding him on LinkedIn right now. Okay. I'm finding him on LinkedIn.
Here.
And yeah. Oh, look at that. He's only a second degree separation person for me. So we have people in common.
There you go.
All right. I'm gonna not follow him. I'm just gonna friend him.
Just friend
cancel
him.
Cancel that. I'm gonna unfollow and then
blow him
connect.
Up with your comments on his article.
I will. In fact, I'm putting that in my request to him right now.
Now, I'm not disputing the fact. Maybe it does take that long for the average Seattleite to save up 20%. But our point is you don't have to have 20% down to purchase a home in Seattle or anywhere mm-hmm. for that matter.
Yeah.
And there's lots of programs for first-time home buyers. We offer zero-down options for first-time home buyers mm-hmm. or low-down payments, 3%, 3.5% down. There's lots and lots of different options out there. And in fact, should take our class.
I'm going to invite him to our class.
Should. Maybe we can have him do that. While you're typing that invite out, we do have one of the official sponsored by the Washington State Housing Finance Commission first-time homebuyer class. Our next one is going to be held on March 4th. That's a Saturday mm-hmm. from about 9:30 a.m. It runs almost 5 hours. It's a mm-hmm. full commitment. This is going to be held down in Tacoma at our our beautiful office down right downtown Tacoma. The Homebridge office is there.
Overlooking the beautiful Green River.
Commencement Bay. Yeah. No, Ed, this what? Will... Aren't we
Wait,
doing
you said Tequila.
No, Tacoma.
Oh, you said Tequila.
You're busy typing.
No.
I did?
You said Tequila, which is where Tacoma. Your normal office is. Tacoma.
Tacoma.
Yeah, if you had said Tacoma, I would have been like, oh, what are we doing?
All right, we'll do a playback on that one.
You can tell the show is not edited. It's done live. There you go. Well, we can listen in on Sunday or the podcast to find out
again.
What you said.
March 4th in Tacoma. From starting at 9:30 in the morning. This is a class. It is sponsored by the Washington State Housing Finance Commission. It's free. We usually cater it. You know, we have food available, that sort of thing. We make it a fun event, and this is far from boring. Mm-hmm. We have life lessons in this class. Lots and lots of good information about all the different options and what you need to do to be prepared to do that whole go slow before you go fast.
Yes.
You know, process of buying a home. So space is limited. So if you're interested in signing up for that class, you can reach out. Probably best one, email info@teamreba.com.
Yes.
And you can register for the class, or you can also look this one up. You can look it up under Eric is my banker. Just go into social media or send us an email. And Reba, if somebody wants to email you, info@teamreba.com.
Correct.
If they want to call you, where can they reach you?
Well, please text first so we know you're not a spam call, but it's 206-457-2984. You can also text if you want to get the information sent to you about signing up for the class.
Of course.
Yeah,
likewise.
We'd be happy to do that.
You can reach me too if you have questions or like to sign up. You call me 206-915-3742. That's 206-915-ERIC. Or you can email me eric@ericismybanker.com.
All right.
There you go.
Yes.
Speaking
I'm excited
of,
about that class, though, because we're going to be doing some new things with that, too.
We are. And we're going to be talking about a new program also in our area called Genoa.
Mm-hmm.
And that program...
Which sounds like a salami, but it's not.
It sounds delicious. I know.
It makes me hungry.
I'm having some Genoa with, powdered sugar sprinkled on top of it or something.
Oh,
but no, Genoa is a zero-down program. And what it is a combination of two loans. There's a first mortgage, which is an FHA loan, which requires a 3.5% down payment, combined with a second mortgage for that down payment for the 3.5%.
Mm-hmm. So now, this is similar to programs we've had in the past,
it is,
right?
But here's the difference.
Okay.
The second mortgage on this program, there's no monthly payment required. The interest rate is zero. But if you have 36 on-time mortgage payments, in other words, and you live in the home for 3 years, that second mortgage is fully forgiven.
See, that is very much like a past program that
right.
we've had.
It is. But
which is awesome.
Another cool part of this. Let's say you make 35 payments and then you're late on one.
Right,
so you don't have the 36 payments.
Uh-huh.
You can still, you don't lose your ability to have that loan forgiven. You got to start over though. You got to make 36 more payments and then it'll be forgiven. You can do that up to the 30-year term of the loan.
Okay.
But it better just make your payments on time. That's
right.
Going to keep your credit pristine.
Yes.
But 36 payments and that loan is fully forgiven. Just the second mortgage, not the first mortgage.
So
you still
got to
pay that one back.
How does it go about being forgiven?
It is.
What's the process?
There's nothing that you have to do. You will just receive what's called a reconveyance. The loan shows a zero balance.
So they
balance,
do the tracking.
Paid in full. Yep.
Yeah, as long
out.
As those payments happen, they've got their tracking mechanism,
exactly.
And then boom, they'll.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Really cool program. So that's called Genoa. We'll be talking about that one now.
Is that because it normally takes about 3 years for what would be the value of that?
Yeah, it's just the agreement.
Amount?
It's the agreement for the for the program. Now there are some income limits, and which
what might those be?
135% of the average median income for the county in which you live.
The
so
average
let me
median
translate
income?
That into English. If you live in King or Snohomish counties, you can earn up to $181,710. And qualify for that program. It's a little bit lower in Pierce County. That'd be $137,430. So if you earn less than $137,000 in Pierce County, mm-hmm. or less than, let's call it $182,000 in King or Snohomish counties, you would qualify for this program. Now, the program is available statewide, all throughout the state of Washington. So each county has their own, you know, different limits. I don't want to run them all down here, but it's a really interesting program. Mm-hmm. And this is one that we can add to some other zero down options that we have, including what's okay. called Home Advantage through yep. the Washington State Housing Finance Commission, Home Opportunity. There's mm-hmm. Specific ones, down payment assistance programs for the city of Seattle, for the city of Tacoma, for if you live on the east side, there's what's called the ARCH program. Mm-hmm. So lots of these that we'll be discussing at our class on
mm-hmm. March 4th.
At 9:30 a.m. in Tacoma.
Yes, in Tacoma.
That's right.
Yes.
So be sure to sign up for this. This class, yeah. people that take and, this, they...
Well, and share this information. Please, mm-hmm. because maybe you aren't looking to buy a home right now, but you might know somebody or have a family member.
That's right.
Or a colleague.
Yes.
So share the love.
Send the gift
the
of love.
Yes.
And you know,
help somebody's New Year's resolution.
On the path, you know, the folks that think, I can never buy it. It's going to take me 7.5 years to buy.
It's not
according
true.
To Puget Sound Business Journal.
Or at least Nitish. No.
All right. We'll be right
teach
back.
Him. We'll teach him just like you.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1300, The Answer. Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Haas of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And Eric Oz is here from Home Bridge Financial Home Mortgage.
So what's the weather like outside?
What's the forecast?
Yeah. I'm just kidding about the weather. We are going to talk about what we're going to forecast for the rest of this year around
Absolutely.
Real estate mortgage.
Yes.
Well, exciting stuff, but let's look at the past first.
Sure, for sure. And let's give a quick baseline on, yes. on where we're at. You want to do rates or the housing market first?
Let's talk actually like where rates are right now.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Okay. Absolutely.
Because then that way we can kind of do a look back.
Yes.
Like what's our baseline to start?
Exactly.
Take a look back, and then let's look forward.
That's right. And here we are, you know, first week of January 2023. The last week of the year, 2022, mm-hmm. normally the bond market is on cruise control. Traders sign off for the year. They've mm-hmm. locked in their Christmas bonuses. They're closing out their financial positions. So the market's fairly thinly traded, which – can sometimes lead to some volatility, some big swings in the market. So last week was no exception. The bond market was on a nice roll right up until the point that $1.7 trillion budget was passed
yeah.
and signed into law. You know, that spending is inflationary. It works against the Fed's efforts to control inflation, which they kind of finally woke up and started doing around March of last year. And the problem is that the government doesn't have $1.7 trillion to spend. They don't have it. So they have to borrow it. And the way they borrow it is by selling treasury securities, treasury bonds, which crowds out the bond market, which is already, you know, fairly crowded. So for the end of the year, you know, it put a little bit of upward pressure on rates. Although the start of this week, we actually we're off to a pretty good start. And as the bond traders are all back on the job now and they're looking forward, Europe gave us some benefits this week, which they had some inflation statistics that were starting to look a little bit better. And they're a little bit behind us even in our hiking of the rates. Mm-hmm. So we're off to a fairly decent start for the week. So here are the national average conventional 30-year fixed rate, 6.54%.
Definitely back up.
Yep. 15-year fixed rates, 5.87%. FHA and VA, 30-year fixed rates, 6.15%.
Boy, did our client get in right under the wire.
Yes. Yeah, because nice. They were up about 0.3 yeah. from a week ago.
Yeah.
And 30-year fixed rate jumbos, 5.7%.
Okay.
So this is our baseline. Let's mm-hmm. call it 6.5%.
Yeah.
You know, for a conventional 30-year fixed mm-hmm. rate. So where do we see that going in 2023?
Mm.
Well, there's
a, sorry, I keep smirking over here because I said a whole bunch of notices. You know, like 46 minutes ago, my team posted an article about down payments and not falling. Can I just tell you what this? So my headline was, wondering how much you need to save for a down payment? It's like, and my comment was, don't let the common misconception about how much you need to save make the process harder than it should be. So I tagged Natish.
There you go. Hit that nail on the head.
Yeah. He's going to love me. Sorry. I'm enjoying it too much.
Can I get on with this?
Yes, you may.
Oh, thank you. All right. All right. Here's our forecasting for 2023.
Wait, no. So we weren't going to look back at how bad you did from last year?
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
I thought we were
all
doing
right.
a look back. Okay. Come on. No, see, this is why you still need me paying attention, mister. Come on.
All right. Okay. Last year.
We're going to go slow to go fast.
Last year
right?
in January, 30-year fixed rates were at around 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And I forecast two things. Number one, that rates would rise.
Yes.
We expected rates
mm-hmm.
to rise.
Yep.
There was a lot of talk about inflation at the beginning of the year. But if mm-hmm. you remember, Janet Yellen and mm-hmm. and all the politicians were saying that inflation was transitory.
Yeah.
You know, that it was only caused, you know, due to supply chain issues yep. due to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back and look at all my blogs and posts
yeah.
and things. I was questioning that
mm-hmm.
back then. But I thought, well, okay, they're wrong. Rates are going to mm-hmm. go up.
Yeah.
And I forecast rates would rise. So that was number one. But number two, I forecast that they would top out at 3.75%.
Right? Yeah. You just did a video on this last week. I saw it. And you were like, yeah. Okay. All right.
Kind of missed the mark on that one by half.
But yeah, but the thing was, again, we already said it earlier in this show. There was stuff we had no idea was on the horizon.
Right.
Nobody knew.
No, and especially oil prices
mm-hmm.
and you know that exacerbated it, but also there were a bunch of spending, a lot of government spending.
Yeah.
And that pretty much came home to roost
mm-hmm.
Because all that spending, like I just mentioned, is highly inflationary.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So we topped out at around 7.375%, mm-hmm. you know, way off of my forecast.
Yeah.
You know, for that. So that's where we're at on the rates. Now looking forward,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay to give my forecast.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think rates are gonna fall, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And my forecast would be that we will be in the low 5% range, you know, this year, you know, by the end of the year, probably sooner than that. So we're at 6.5 now. I think we'll be as low as 5%, you know, at some point in this year, maybe by second quarter even, you know, that we'll see that happen. And the reason for that is that we are definitely, there's a 97% chance at this point we will drift into a recession. If we're not already, the housing market's already in a recession.
Mm-hmm.
But as we go into a recession, interest rates will follow. They tend to go down as
right.
the economy slows.
Well, so if you're listening to this, there's a few lessons here for you right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have not been in action, but are thinking about doing something for the next year, this is your good time to start your process, because if those rates do start falling, you want to be ready.
Right.
You want to be ready, because think about how volatile those rates were just in the last quarter of the year.
All over the place.
Right.
Also think about how crazy the housing market was when rates mm-hmm. were at 3%.
Exactly.
And the feeding frenzy and the multiple offers and all of that.
Yep.
So this,
yeah.
you have to, you know, the interest rates are just one component of it, a very, very important component,
mm-hmm.
you know, but also you have to think as rates fall, what's going to happen to housing activity?
Exactly.
So that leads into, you know.
So I've been talking about this throughout the end of last year and now coming into this year. So giving a little bit of the point of view of from the housing side. Like, I look at that weekly dashboard,
mm-hmm.
right? And we had been saying, so we went from January last year where we were practically begging all of you to please, if you were thinking about selling, like, do it now, please, 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 please. That first quarter was so necessary for new housing to come on, and it didn't happen.
No.
And we all suffered through it. So, I mean, great if you were selling at the time and you got 10, 20, 30% over asking price. And then that came to a screeching halt in May mm-hmm. when the big dump of housing came on mm-hmm. right at the same time the interest rates rose, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
So from late May through August, we went from three buyers for every one seller on average mm-hmm. to two homes for every one buyer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so we just limped our way through the last half of the year if you were trying to sell. Mm-hmm. Right. It was great for buyers from the standpoint of, like, they at least had choice. And granted, I mean, I take a look from this vantage point of, even if you did pay a higher interest rate, but you didn't have to pay 30% more.
Yeah.
You still were going to do better, because as we saw those rates get volatile, anyone who bought in the 7% range, mm-hmm. guess what they're already doing?
Right.
They're already refinancing.
Exactly.
If they can.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and why wouldn't you?
All it takes is about a half to 3/4% drop in rates to make yeah. refinancing worth a good hard look.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, anyone who was buying in that last half had that potential for a little bit. And as we go into this year, you definitely, you and I mm-hmm. are both kind of on the same page. Like, my estimation is that we are likely to go back down in the rates again. And my biggest concern right now is because looking at the market watch, now granted, this is the first week of the month and it's usually still a little bit light, mm-hmm. but yeah. we went way down. We had 502 new listings for the entire 26 county region.
Oh, yikes. Wow.
In 7 days.
Which should
over
normally.
Over a week.
Which normally should be what?
We normally see anything from, when it's typically lighter, it might be 1,200 to 1,800 on a mm-hmm. lighter month.
Yeah.
To when we had a bunch of it in last summer, we were having over 3,000, and in some cases got close to 4,000 new listings in a week.
Yeah.
So this is a very tiny number. And, you know, we've talked before about, like, we had to start really paying attention to the listing price reduced. That went down to 537.
Okay.
So just over 1,000 units, right, showing in the week. There's 194 were back on market. That could be things that expired, came back on. Could have been somebody taking it off the market to fix some things. Could have been failed deals that come mm-hmm. on. It's a variety of things. Now, here's the thing, because it is the very first week of the month, 752 expireds.
Okay.
That number went boop, way up. And yeah. it's been like that
That's
all week.
That's kind of normal. Yeah.
It's been like that all week. And I actually just posted an article about that the other day on Instagram, showing the Market Watch numbers, because I said, this is a classic in my personal estimation, but this is from 20 years of experience. I think that is a classic mistake of a lot of agents. They just assume, like, oh, it'll be the end of the year, we might as well just start fresh. And what ends up happening is, one, if your client expires, they may just say, you know what, and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're going to have less inventory, right? That person now is at a time right. when there's less competition mm-hmm. and now they're not even on market.
Right.
Right. So now we have an issue around that. The other thing is that person's now going to get hammered by a bunch of phone calls from people who are looking at the expireds trying to get new business. So that right. poor seller is just going to get hammered by right, phone right. calls by a bunch of strangers, right? You know, and so that's not joyous at all either. And frankly, you know, for me, the buyers who decide to get engaged start doing it around this time. Mm-hmm. So if you're missing a window of opportunity, actually, I would never do that. I always wait till like the second or third week of a month, because there's tons of people, you know, normally who come on at the beginning of the month, but not in January.
Yep.
Not in January.
No, different thing. Well, now we still got to get back to your forecast for the housing market for 2023. So stay tuned.
With Team Reba on AM 1300, The Answer. Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. Eric Austin is here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
And Reba Haas from Team Reba.
Thanks again for listening in here on this busy weekend.
Yes.
And we have our annual review of our forecasts from the prior year, as well as our forecasts for the current year.
Yes. So while we can't give the exact numbers from the MLS about what we ended up with the year, because they're still compiling those numbers. They're going to be out this next week, right?
Yeah, so we'll have to. While.
Yeah, it takes a little while for them to get everything. They can't just like, hey, we're done. Especially because we also had the observed holiday 8 into one day of the week. So they'll definitely be coming later. But, you know, I had forecast last year that we would probably still be around 12%. So we'll confirm that on a future show, whether or not I was there. And my guess is it probably will on an annual basis be about right, because we kept talking all the way from January to May that the vast majority of homes were selling 10, 20, and sometimes 30% over asking price.
Right.
Right? The good, even not so great properties were selling very briskly, because we had 2 to 3 weeks of inventory in most market areas, right? And now we're 2 to 3 months of inventory on average, right? So, and
which is still not a buyer's market, you know, far from it.
No, it's not. And here's one of the other things. The MLS is still reporting that the average list to sale price is still a little bit over 102%. So we still have, and that's the thing. I put a stat out in the last couple of weeks that there's still like 20 some percent of the houses that are selling, you know, with multiple offers competing against them. So there's roughly a quarter that are languishing, and then there's another close to a quarter that, you know, are, you know, having fights over them.
Right.
And so we're seeing, you know, just this battle of what's really going on.
Right.
And so what it tells me, though, from an experienced perspective, everything we just keep saying, if it's compelling, it's selling. Meaning if it's in the right condition, the right location, right priced, there's demand.
Right.
Right? So if you're not paying attention to the marketplace and you're being outlandish in your point of view and either doing absolutely, I mean, I'll tell you, I saw a house on the market the other day that I was a little blown away. I was like, whoa, something for $280,000? That surprised me. Now, granted, it was down in Parkland. And then as I looked a little bit closer, it's with this kind of junk broker. I'm not a big fan. And, you know, it's got a leaking roof. There's water damage all around. They won't even let you into the place until you have like an offer in place. I mean, they're basically selling it for the land value. Of course, this guy is trying to like, well, it's a great flip for the right person. And maybe, right? But it's also going to be an expensive flip if you're going to have that much damage. Right.
Right.
Because you gotta get that sucker all the way down. So that's not going to be an inexpensive redo. Right. So, you know, I think that as we move forward into this year, just like we were discussing earlier, if the rates drop back down into the fives, my expectation is we're going to get back into more bidding wars again. It's going to go above the 20 percentile mark.
Yep.
And I think we are still going to see not crazy appreciation. But I think we're going to, you know, probably be in the 5 to 8, which is still better than what a lot of the rest of the U.S. is experiencing right now. Many other parts that had been very, very fast moving markets. And I want to remind people, some of those fast moving markets that are slowing way back down again, guess what? They're all the same investment areas that when we had the Great Recession also slowed way down. Phoenix, Las Vegas,
yeah,
you know, parts of Florida. Florida also slowed way down just because of Hurricane Ian, right? Not all of it, but parts of it. Places like Jacksonville actually picked up because they were like, "Woo, we're the safe place," you know. So I have a number of people who are looking in different market areas of Florida. So it just kind of depends, because you know how I'm not a fan of media, which is always funny because here I am on it. But I'm going to say kind of like, so I just finished doing the 75 Hard, right? And the reason I'm going to tie this in is Andrew Frisella, the guy who came up with that whole 75 Hard program. One of the things about his podcast, and this is true about me and you, he has a no BS filter on his show, which is the same as me and you. Mm-hmm. We don't accept other people's sponsorships of our show. Mm-hmm. This is me and you. And so other outside forces are often saying a bunch of stuff. Like, I'm not saying that there's not a recession, but there are certainly parts of what's going on in the U.S. that aren't struggling as hard as some people think.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, for sure.
And having sat through a bunch of investor talks recently where there were pitches of different projects going on around the U.S., I'm going to tell you right now, if you're the average Joe, you need to not be paying attention to these ridiculous headlines like people like Nitish, or however he pronounces his name, because they're meant to freeze you where you're sitting, mm-hmm. to not take action. Because I'm going to tell you right now, those wealthy folks that I sat in on those calls with, those family offices that have copious amounts of money, they are snatching real estate up like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm. Right. You just have to take a longer-term perspective of things. Mm-hmm. And we will see some fluctuations in home values this year for sure.
Yeah.
And as a buyer, though, there are some good opportunities out there right now. Because, yeah. Well, you and I have seen it. How many transactions have we had where the sellers have been paying some closing costs?
Yeah.
Now, those homes are still selling for at or pretty close to the list,
yes.
price.
Yeah.
You know, they're not selling for 20% below,
but let's
or
use,
5%.
Our last closing together, that was a $625,000 sale. We got 2.25
points
on closing costs. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That went to pay down his interest rate.
Right.
Which was a phenomenal win.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So as a buyer, you know, and so are the rates perfect now? No.
No.
You know, but you know, that client was able to buy down the rate to a nice, mm-hmm. reasonable level. The,
yes.
seller paid for that.
Yes.
So it didn't cost our buyer anything.
And again, going back to the, you need to be prepared, having a full underwrite, and then being able to be out in the market. Because let's remember, mm-hmm. that client started looking when the rates had gone all the way up into the sevens. And,
yes.
while we were in contract, you are always great about watching and having alerts on for when there's drops so that you could have that conversation. So he not only benefited from the buy down, but then the rates themselves,
mm-hmm. right.
began to go down. You can't say, oh, look, the rates went down. I better jump out there and go get myself pre-approved now. Like, you got to get yourself ready,
right.
in advance.
You can kind of do that with a lock and shop where we can lock your rate.
Yeah.
You know, but only for about 120 days. So even with that, you've got to be ready. You've got to be ready to go.
Let's look at the last 4 months. Look at how much the interest rates changed.
It's just, right.
So it's all about readying your mind.
Yes.
75 Hard is also about mental toughness. Mm-hmm. This is an act of mental toughness. Mm-hmm. You have to not read dumb headlines and only believe the headline. You have to dig in, and you also have to look at your situation. Because here's the other thing you and I both know. Every time we teach a class, like what we're doing on March 4th, people who come, they're not ready to buy right then.
No.
Most of them come, they have credit issues they've got to clean up. They're working on, you know, how they want to save for their closing costs and maybe a down payment. You know, even if it's 3%, yeah, they still have some work to,
sure.
do.
Or they just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to do the work.
That's
up
the starting
front.
Point, and that's where you get going. But you've got to get the knowledge and got to get the information,
yeah.
get the education so you know what options you have available.
Exactly.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. Don't let everybody else lead you.
Mm.
Right? I mean,
no,
that's the
sure.
whole thing. Get the knowledge, have the power.
Yep. And take our class. Don't get your information from TikTok. Just saying. I know my wife loves TikTok.
I
love her dearly. But
I just had a vision of her singing to that seagull.
That seagull looking in the roof like,
I love her so much. I love her. And thanks again for having me over for the holidays.
Absolutely.
It was such a pleasure, and it was so much fun to sing with her.
Absolutely. Oh, well, that's good.
Great group of people.
Well, I hope you all have a great weekend, and stay tuned. Listen next week.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at Remax Metro Eastside on Facebook or email info@teamreba.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 2 for more Open House with Team Reba.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house.
The preceding program was sponsored by Team Reba of Remax Metro Eastside and Eric Osnes of Homebridge Financial Services.